Welcome to the first episode of Shamrock Stories, a podcast for the New Haven School District in New Haven, Missouri. I'm Dr. Hainer, Superintendent of Schools here in the New Haven School District, and I've got a couple of guests. I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
I'm Mrs. Nook, Principal of the Middle and High School.
I'm Mrs. Otten, Principal at the Elementary School.
So for our first episode of Shamrock Stories, we thought we needed to start with the most important thing that we do here at school, and that's our academics. And we would like to review our 2024 academics report. And as we're heading into MAP testing season, we want to review how we did last year and kind of set the base for what we hope to happen again this spring. Our school district takes a number of tests each spring that help DESE evaluate how well the school and individual grades are doing academically. And so we want to run through how our students did on those tests last year. All of the information that we're going to provide to you can be found on our New Haven School District website, newhavenschools.org. On the front page, under What's New, there is a new story called NHSD Exceptional Test Performances. It gives a recap of how we did last year, and at the very bottom of that story is a link to our full board report that gives more details, and that's what we're going to reference as we go through our podcast today. At the beginning of that report, you'll see some slides that have yellows and reds and greens, and we'd like to look at our tests, how they compare to state averages. So anything that is 10% or higher than the state average is a green. Being above state average up to 10% is yellow, and anything below state average is in red. The goal when you look at these slides is to have the whole thing in green. That's probably not realistic, but that's always our goal. So as you look through those slides, it's going to give you a quick snapshot of how we did versus the state average. And we're going to kind of talk through that as we go through multiple slides, but there's a slide for English, language arts, mathematics, and science. And as a whole, our students did very well again this year, like we traditionally have. But I'm going to turn it over to the principals, and they're going to highlight a few of the grades and how they did this year, especially highlighting the grades or the subjects that were in the top three in our area. Before I hand this over to our principals, I wanted to explain a little bit of what you're seeing in the data. And the schools that we compare ourselves to when we say in the area, it's the Four Rivers Conference schools plus Washington. And we feel like if we compete against them athletically, that we should also compete against them academically. You're also going to notice on the slides that some slides reference how we did advanced and proficient, meaning the percentage of students that were advanced or proficient on the MAP test. Other slides reference MAP index. MAP index puts you into a pot of below basic, basic, advanced, or proficient. It also gives you extra points for where you fall into those pots. So for example, if you were proficient on the test, but you were almost advanced, you're going to get more points than a student who was just barely proficient on the test. And so it's just a different way that the state looks at our data. We have traditionally only looked at advanced and proficient, but we are transitioning next year to where we're only going to look at MAP index. Therefore, this year we kind of looked at both so that you could see the difference in where our kids fall under both areas. So at this time, I'm going to turn it over to the principals, and they can kind of walk through how their students did on the test, especially where they finished in the top three.
Thank you, Dr. Hainer. This year, we're very proud of all of our students, but particularly third grade is an area that possibly due to the fact that it's the first year they take that state test, we've struggled in the past. This year, we took a few different approaches, and it really paid off. Third grade ELA, we came in second place for advanced and proficient. Very proud of that. As Dr. Hainer mentioned about MAP index, switching to that, when you look at our score there, you'll see we're in fifth place. And as an administrator, that tells me that we just want kids to improve each year. It may not be going from that proficient to advanced, but let's just improve within that category. You might have been lowest in proficient, but let's raise you up and get you as close as we can. So always improving every day, always doing better.
I think while we're on third grade, it would be wrong of us not to give credit to all of those people that prepared them for that third grade test. And I'll kind of let you dive into that a little bit further.
When you look at tests, it's not just what that third grade teacher did that year. It's what did kindergarten contribute? What did first grade and what did second grade? And we need everybody to do their part so that we can see these results when they start taking the tests third through sixth. Our sixth grade in the area of ELA was first place in for advanced and proficient. Very proud of those scores as well. As far as MAP index, they fell into third place, which is still a great achievement.
When we get to seventh grade ELA, again, it takes everybody before they even get to the seventh grade to make sure that our kids are prepared. But our teachers do a really good job of including English and reading into everything that they do, from social studies class to math class, and then obviously in their science class as well. So between reading and ELA, we really try to make sure that our kids are prepared and ready for those tests when they come. Eighth grade did really well last year, as well as seventh grade. Those kids are a really great group of kids who work really hard, just like all of our students. They are really taking the test seriously when they get there, and that's really helpful as well. Our MAP index for that eighth grade group is really good as well in the first place. So not only are they performing at the proficient and advanced level, they are also on the high end of those levels.
Switching gears to math, going back to third grade again, super proud of those third graders. They were third place for the MAP index. Fifth grade for math in advanced and proficient, they came in first place.
In seventh grade with math, again, we performed really well. Our students got third place there in the area. Again, they work really hard. Our teachers work really hard day in and day out, and they come to school. And so those things really are what help our students do well. The eighth grade math, again, very well. First place in the area. Those kids work hard. Those kids make sure that they are at school. The teachers work really hard to keep them motivated, as well as their math MAP index was a really great score as well. First place again. Eighth grade science, they were third place in the area. And then their MAP index was also a third place in the area. The best thing about that is that while it's our eighth grade that takes the test, that test is over sixth, seventh, and eighth grade material. Our biology students performed fabulously. Again, we have high expectations here. Our students are expected to be in school, to pay attention, and they do, and they perform well because of that. Their MAP index was also very high, which means that our teacher was able to not only make sure they were getting proficient and advanced, but they were also at the high levels of both of those.
After we look at each grade level test or each subject test, we also then look, how did we do as a full district? And so I will average the scores on every one of our tests and kind of compare those to the area also. This year, we were second in the area to Union, was first. We were slightly behind them. And when we look at our average for advanced and proficient, and it's been very consistent. I would say we've been in the top two most of my tenure here, and this is my ninth year in the district. On the ACT, we were fourth this year, and we like to point out our average score on our ACT is a 21, but Mrs. Nook is going to kind of talk to you about how our demographics of who takes that test is a little different than other districts.
Many years ago, the state paid for all students to take the ACT. And while many schools, when that funding was taken away, they quit having all of their students take the ACT, our district decided to go ahead and continue to pay for that. So our students get an option their junior year of taking the ACT or the ACT work keys. So what you see when we're comparing to everyone else is all of our students having the option to take the ACT, whereas other districts, most of the time, it's just the students who would like to, or the students who see a purpose in that ACT score for going to college. Next year, we want to add in another option for our students. We'd like to add in the Accuplacer. We know that many of our students are going to tech schools, and that is a test that they require. So instead of them having to take a day off school to go there or to schedule it somewhere else, we're going to give that to them as an option. So they'll be able to take the ACT, the ACT Work Keys, which is usually for kids who may be heading straight to work after high school, or they could take the Accuplacer, and our district will fund that for them.
When we're done looking at all the tests, academic reports are one part that lead to our APR score. So it's our annual performance report. And this is kind of our grade card as a school district. It is what certifies school districts around the state. And our APR in this area was second to Union. Union had a great year academically. Once again, traditionally, we've been right there in that first or second most years in the APR and continue that kind of success that we've traditionally had. When you look at just the APR performance data, which is mainly just your academic reports, we were first in the area. And so of the thing that is most important that we do with the academics, we were number one in the area. What the state will actually use to certify school districts is a three-year composite APR. So they don't just look at 1 year. They have some fancy math, and they put a three-year composite together. It's not the average of three tests. It's much more complicated than that. But when you look at our three-year composite, we are in first place. Our score was 84.5. The next school was 82.4. So we had a pretty sizable lead on our three-year composite APR. Once again, that's looking at the continued success and not just the ups and downs on your APR. When you look at our APR academic performance, one of the things that made us stand out from our peers, many of them had some pretty good scores on the test. What was different for us was our growth scores. And so that's a measurement of, did a student progress a full year? So when they went from third grade to fourth grade, did that individual student see 1 year's progression in that time? And our scores in growth were very, very good. And many of the area schools and schools across the state, their growth numbers were not as good. So it's a testament to our teachers doing a good job and pushing kids every single year, not only as a group, but as individuals. The other thing I wanted to point out on the performance part of the APR is that our graduation rate, we had 100% of the points there, which I feel like is very, very important. Not every school can claim that either. And it's not that we have 100% of kids graduate, but I'm saying that we received all the points possible because our graduation rate was so high. The last thing I want to point out on the individual breakdown part of our APR is that we received 100% of the points for attendance. The attendance rate in New Haven has always been strong, and I constantly am hearing other school districts or reading about other school districts that are struggling with their attendance, and that's just never been the case in my tenure in New Haven. Parents do a great job of getting their kids to school, and the kids hopefully aren't fighting their parents too much at home to make that happen. So kind of a recap of the summary of our scores. We took 19 tests last year. In the area, we were top three in 9 of the 19 tests. We were in first place in 5 of the 19 tests. We were above the state average in 14 of the 19 tests. And we were more than 10% above the state average in 8 of the 19 tests. We're very proud of those numbers. We're also not complacent with those numbers. We always want to maintain that or even grow that on some other tests. Over the past 8 years, if you look at those numbers, we were above the state average on 16 of the 19 tests. And we're more than 10% above the state average on 9 of the 19 tests. Another testament to the prolonged success of our students. And the final slide I'm going to kind of point out is, since we're going to transition away from the advanced proficient data and go more towards the MAP index, I wanted to do one final look at advanced proficient over the past 8 years. And so I did our average score on a map test for the past 8 years. And when you look at that, we are first place in the area with a score of 51.8. The next closest school to us is 50.2. So we're 1.6% above our next peer in this area. And that just is a huge testament to the kids that have come through here for many years. That's a lot of classes when you look at who was taking a biology test 8 years ago compared to a third grader taking it this past year. That's a wide span of grades that have come through, and they've continued that success for a long time. And we talk about tradition of excellence in our district, and I think this is exactly what we're talking about. Sometimes we talk about what's on the wall in the gym and all the state championships, but what's more important is the academic piece that we provide for our community. And I think that number being number one in the area for the past 8 years, along with, you know, in 2015 winning that blue ribbon, it's just a couple of testaments to what we have going on in our school. And so I'm going to kind of hand it off to the principals for their overall thoughts on what we had going on last year's test.
I just really think that the community should be very proud of their students, that they do take these tests seriously. They don't miss school very often. Like Dr. Hainer had said, our teachers should be proud of our students, and the community should be proud of our teachers as well. When we talk about attendance, they really aren't missing school very often either. And so they are really good role models for our students when it comes to attendance, and they take their jobs very seriously and want the very best for themselves, just like they do for their students. And that shows, that shows on a daily basis when you're walking these halls, but also at the end of the year when we get these score reports back.
And to piggyback off what Mrs. Nook just said, it's a whole team effort. It's not just third through sixth grade. It starts in kindergarten. And we take that approach each year when we get together and decide how are we going to pump these kids up? How are we going to make sure they do their very best on that test? And we get everybody involved, and the kids know we're behind them, and we know they're amazing, and we just want them to show everybody else what they know.
I get a lot of questions from reporters from area schools on how we maintain our success. And I try to convey that we don't do anything fancy. We don't have a lot of fancy tests that many school districts around the state use. We feel like that it's not worth the money and the time that it takes to take those tests. We really rely on our teachers to do a great job in their classroom every single day. And when they provide a lesson to the kids, to know their understanding of that. And if they need to reteach the material, they do that. But our teachers are our main testing point, and their knowledge of their kids is vital to our success. I also think, you know, we have a tradition here of show up to work every day, work really hard, do your homework, and we've kind of led the area, or I shouldn't say led the area, probably led the state in the use of cell phones in school. When you walk into one of our classrooms, nobody's on their phone. They're paying attention to the teacher teaching. They're on task. And I think sometimes when we're looking for what makes somebody successful, what makes a school district successful, it's the simple things. It's not the complex things that set the tone for what we are able to do in our school district. We want to thank you for listening to our first episode of Shamrock Stories. We look forward to providing more information to you in the future. And as time allows, and as we have more and more ideas of what we want to convey to our community, we'll be hopping on a new podcast and getting that out to you every time we can. So thank you for listening, and help us spread the word that we have a new podcast, and we're excited to keep the community informed. Thank you.
It's always a good day to be a Shamrock.